His footsteps kept time with the throbbing of his brain so that the walk was apt to accelerate itself to a race. One day he found himself arrested. His arm was seized by a portly personage who had turned back on recognizing the young man and expended much breath in overtaking him.
"Signor Giovanni, stay, my young friend," cried he. "Have you forgotten me? That might well be the case, if I were as much altered as yourself."
It was Baglioni, whom Giovanni had avoided ever since their first meeting from a doubt that the professor's sagacity would look too deeply into his secrets. Endeavoring to recover himself, he stared forth wildly from his inner world into the outer one, and spoke like a man in a dream. "Yes, I am Giovanni Guasconti. You are Professor Pietro Baglioni. Now let me pass."
"Not yet, not yet, Signor Giovanni Guasconti," said the professor, smiling, but at the same time scrutinizing the youth with an earnest glance.
"What, did I grow up side by side with your father, and shall his son pass me like a stranger in these old streets of Padua? Stand still, Signor Giovanni, for we must have a word or two before we part."
"Speedily, then, most worshipful professor, speedily," said Giovanni with a feverish impatience. "Does not your worship see that I am in haste?" Now, while he was speaking, there came a man in black along the street, stooping and moving feebly like a person in inferior health. His face was all overspread with a most sickly and sallow hue, but yet so pervaded with an expression of piercing and active intellect that an observer might easily have overlooked the merely physical attributes and have seen only this wonderful energy. As he passed, this person exchanged a cold and distant salutation with Baglioni, but fixed his eyes upon Giovanni with an intentness that seemed to bring out whatever was within him worthy of notice. Nevertheless, there was a peculiar quietness in the look, as if taking merely a speculative, not a human, interest in the young man.
"It is Dr. Rappaccini," whispered the professor, when the stranger had passed. "Has he ever seen your face before?"
"Not that I know," answered Giovanni, starting at the name.
"He has seen you. He must have seen you," said Baglioni hastily. "For some purpose or other, this man of science is making a study of you. I know that look of his. It is the same, that coldly illuminated face, as he bends over a bird, a mouse, or a butterfly, which, in pursuance of some experiment, he has killed by the perfume of a flower. A look as deep as nature itself, but without nature's warmth or love. Signor Giovanni, I will stake my life upon it. You are the subject of one of Rappaccini's experiments."
"Will you make a fool of me?" cried Giovanni passionately.
"That, Signor Professor, were an untoward experiment." "Patience, patience," replied the imperturbable professor. "I tell thee, my poor Giovanni, that Rappaccini has a scientific interest in thee. Thou hast fallen into fearful hands, and the Signora Beatrice, what part does she act in this mystery?"